Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we welcome you back to the final 45 minutes of overtime right here on Sports Radio 106.7 FM. Thanks to Earl Forsey keeping us updated at the top of the hour. He joins us right here on overtime, as he does on a regular basis, with you until, again, 8:45. Caps hockey at that point, as Earl just told you about. Tomorrow night, 6:30 to 10, I believe the full month, will be old Hollywood Nick Ash, Shoe, and myself. So you'll be, are you on the update desk tomorrow afternoon?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, no, you have the day off.
I just show up and leave when somebody else comes in.
You're a slacker.
Sometimes that doesn't happen.
Exactly. You're a slacker.
I'm just here until they flip the switch.
Well, hopefully don't flip the switch anytime soon. Yeah. By the way, did you know the last time that Mark Sanchez won a football game? As a starting quarterback?
As a starting quarterback, it would have been 2015 in Philly.
That's pretty close.
Okay.
December 28th, 2014.
Okay.
As the Eagles starting quarterback against the Giants.
I don't know if it was in Philly. Started since 2015.
Right.
I guess.
I don't know if it was in Philly or, but that's according to, well, mostly because of Earl Forsey. And as well, Rich Goldberg, who's a NFL Network associate producer, just put that up.
Let me give you, let me quiz you. I know we got some calls in the line, and this, I know you want to get back some other stuff. A tweet I put out last night, right before I did tweet that if Sanchez wins four in a row, Rooster is going to lead a parade through D.C. with
Frosty like
the Snowman.
And I said, well, I said, Chad and JP have to join me as the co-grand marshals. And I said, even Bruce has to be up on a parade float.
He's somewhere there, right? Yeah. Probably not going to happen.
If he has a job at that point.
Could you imagine what would happen? If that did occur.
Oh, my gosh.
If Sanchez gets his team.
If they Todd Collins did.
And I don't want to go too far on this, but this whole, well, Colts not going on the IR because we could get him back late in the season. If those late season games are relevant, Mark Sanchez is going to stay the starting quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they make the, well, here's the thing.
It sounds like if it comes down to the Philadelphia game, that's when they're hoping to have him back. But if he's put him in position, say, he'd have to win two or three, probably.
Minimum. Yeah. You might have to win all three.
He would stay the quarterback, right?
How do you benchmark Sanchez at that point? Unless he's just playing awful in somehow, some way. They're winning despite him, but you weren't willing to do that, obviously,
with Alex
Smith.
So I think that's curious because they're keeping him kind of not putting him on the shelf just in case. However, if it does get to that point, he's not coming back as a starting QB anyway. Now, a tweet I put out tonight or last night. Career NFL records. Matter of fact, I should retweet this right now. I will. Career NFL records. Quarterback A, 32-35-2. Quarterback B.
You weren't kidding. You just retweeted it as you were talking, and it popped up immediately on my timeline.
Quarterback A, 32-35-2. Quarterback B, 37-35. Quarterback A is Kirk Cousins. Quarterback B, the Sanchez.
Whoa.
Mark Sanchez. Who is also 4-2 in his career in the playoffs, went to the AFC Championship game back-to-back years, one of those, after a win over the Patriots to get to the AFC title game under Sexy Rexy Ryan.
Wait, I'm gonna tweak Grant and Danny while we
he saw this.
Just while we do this.
And it's like, this is gonna be, and I was waiting, I didn't get a lot of bad reactions. No. I got people retweeting it, liking it last night.
I'm gonna do this just to mess with you and mess with them at the same time. I'm tagging both of them with a just win though, in quotation.
See, but it's gonna come back on me because I'm the dinosaur and I as Mike,
I'm just going to totally screw with
as
all
Mike
of you.
Rizzo said about Max Scherzer and the Cy Young. What did he say about wins? Let's forget about wins now. So yeah, but the fact is, and look, this is not meant. I'm not trying to make any grand scheme point by this. I'm just pointing out facts that anybody can look up on any football website. simply one statistic, and that's one.
Perfect.
Right there.
I mean,
quarterback
A,
quarterback B.
I mean, it's interesting. Of course, again, the quarterback does not win or lose games on his own, which is something that nobody understands.
The coach doesn't either, Rooster.
No, absolutely.
And what is his? What is he getting hired or fired on?
One number wins. Yes,
that's why
That's why I disagree with Grant and Danny when they do their just win though thing, because they're absolutely more often than not willing to dismiss or advocate for a coach being good or bad based on wins and losses. Not saying that that's the only component that they judge Jay Gruden by. It's obviously not. But nationally, and for the most part, people judge coaches simply not by philosophy, not by plan, not by circumstance. They usually judge it based on one thing and one thing only.
See, now you're stirring things up between me and the guys in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
And I know, and I hear stuff on the air sometimes. I'm coming in
as uncomfortable as I possibly can.
And I hear stuff that I kind of think maybe it's just me because it's you. People think you're about me.
Right.
I'm right there with you.
Exactly.
So maybe I'm just hearing things, thinking it's relating to me, but sometimes I do hear them make a point or two, and I'm thinking, that was a shot at me,
Earl,
wasn't it? That was a shot.
Earl, I want to stir every pot available in my arsenal because that's how this radio station survives. Let's get to Jim in Potomac on the Fan. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Fine. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for hanging in there. Sorry about the long wait.
No, that's okay. I do have I will send some tea to your studios. I discovered some that cures everything for about a good 2 to 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's nice.
Over-the-counter product. So I'll send it to your attention there.
Okay, that would be great.
I had the same,
sounds a little shady there, but that's okay.
There's a lot of shady things. Hey, Jim, there's
over-the-counter
a
product.
Jim, Earl, there's a lot of shady things I put into my body.
Chris, it's an herbal tea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes,
I need some herbs right now.
So the I had shown the same sentiments as the prior caller, but my thoughts were, and I've had a couple discussions among the colleagues, is the Kaepernick should have been brought in as opposed to the latest debacle that the Redskins have gotten themselves into. And the Dan Snyder and company apparently are afraid of the fallout for bringing Kaepernick in to the detriment of us fans, potentially celebrating the Super Bowl. They are missing the goal. The goal is that Super Bowl trophy. That's it.
So let me just counter quickly. So what you're saying is if they brought in Colin Kaepernick, they would have a great chance at winning the Super Bowl? Am I understanding that right? Or are you just saying it would increase the chances?
It would increase the chances.
How much do you think in your mind, before I let Earl respond, do you think Colin Kaepernick over Mark Sanchez would...
Would you say it's significant? By 25%.
Okay, 25%.
Wow.
So you would say that's somewhat significant. They would improve their chances by having Kaepernick over Sanchez, right?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha. Earl, I don't know if we've ever talked about the Kaepernick situation. I've been very clear on my end. I do not think it's the right move to bring him in now or ever into this climate. I think the Redskins would handle it terribly, and that's been proven over and over and over again by all of these circuses.
Yeah, which has always been the situation with the Redskins. Now, the caller says he's afraid that the Redskins are afraid of the backlash, the fallout because of it.
They are.
Oh, do you think that, really?
Absolutely.
Or they just don't simply want him on the team?
Oh, no. I don't think they want him on the team. I don't think they want the media circus in their locker room and in their building.
After all this?
Yeah, the last week and a half?
But they're worried about that?
That's what I'm saying, Earl. They didn't count on this. They didn't think this would happen.
They're more screwed up than I think they are, Rooster.
Exactly. But the point of the matter is... they know they have a dwindling and fractured fan base already. Even if it's 10% of the fan base that still supports them, however they support them, that they lose. Even if it's 5%, whatever it might be, a dwindling and fractured fan base cannot be divided any more than they've already absolutely kicked them in the nuts with.
Well, it's like a football fan base half-life is what we're getting to. You keep dividing it in half. It's never going to get to zero, but it just keeps lasting like a thousand years.
I don't know. Jimmy,
I think the Kaepernick situation, personally, I'm kind of a football guy. If there's a player out there that can help you, I'm more than willing.
Do you believe he can help you right now?
By judging what the Redskins did, and this is interesting too to me, because Jay came out, was asked about this the other day. Yep. When he was asked, did you consider it? And he kind of said, well, yeah, we talked about it all, you know, didn't say they really were close or really
right.
considered,
just kind of brought it. About it.
But, and he said, well, you know, it doesn't fit the scheme and all that stuff. And then you go out and sign Josh Johnson.
Right.
Who hasn't played in forever.
Right.
And, is you know, who knows if he can throw the football because he hasn't when he's been a quarterback. He's a running quarterback.
But here's the thing.
And Kaepernick.
But here's the thing, Earl. Here's the thing that you're missing.
So okay? When you do that, you're telling me, I'm not saying that the Kaepernick option wouldn't have been better at that point.
No,
it's not like you're bringing in.
Okay, but here's the thing.
A classic dropback style quarterback.
Here's the thing that you are missing, and I'm not trying to attack you, and Jim, and everyone that's on their soapbox about this. Even if it's a similar scheme, and they are doing some of the things that Colin Kaepernick does well, RPOs, read option, all that crap, they are doing some of that. There is no doubt that Colin Kaepernick would fit in some of the elements of this scheme, if not a lot of the elements. What is proven fact, and it was reiterated with Mark Sanchez yesterday, and Jay has said it, but Mark Sanchez said it eloquently yesterday. You cannot learn a system that you have no familiarity with in a week and a half
then,
time.
Okay, I'm being then too
time.
Much of a football
you can't.
Idiot then. Then the system's too complicated.
Well, I agree, but you can't do it.
It's football, Rooster. Tua Tagovailoa came off the bench, and I know it's college football, but he came off the bench. Nobody had ever heard of him. The announcers in the game couldn't even pronounce his name.
Earl, he was
for
with
a
the team all year.
I understand.
He knew the system. He knew the terminology.
Totally different quarterback than the guy he
that.
Replaced. He won a national championship.
Earl, if Colin Kaepernick was already here, it would be a different argument.
And I'm not on my soapbox Kaepernick.
If you want to sign Colin Kaepernick, any team but the Redskins specifically, you sign him on January 2nd.
Right.
Well, when the media is gone, you have one day of a press conference. It's an absolute zoo and an absolute circus, and then nobody can see and have access to the guy for 3 months.
And here's
and
the
he's
problem.
He's got 3 months to study.
The other problem is Kaepernick is probably not a guy you signed to be kind of the second, third string backup fill-in. I mean, I think that Seattle decided against it. The Ravens, in essence, decided
right.
against it.
Well, because they knew what they
you
were taking on.
You can't sign him to be here just as a backup. Also ran just in case kind of guy. If you're going to bring him in, he's going to want to be a starting quarterback.
There's a lot of teams,
and folks around the league don't think that's the case anymore.
We got to take a timeout. I have a point to counter just what you said that I want to add, but we have to take a quick timeout. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. The Colin Kaepernick stuff is obviously still a criticism of the Redskins and 31, I guess, other NFL teams. 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. We'll get to Vic and Akiki and more on The Fan. All right, with you until 8:45, so another 20 minutes or so right here on Overtime on The Fan. Earl Forsey, you can follow him if you're not already doing so, and you damn well should be, at Earl Forsey.
Yeah, I need
put
it.
Up,
the Rooster's flock. I need more of your flock to follow me.
Well, not the ones that you don't
not
get along
Forsey's
with.
Not Forsey's flock.
Yeah, exactly. He just put up an interesting tweet, let's put it that way, that I retweeted as well.
Yeah.
And antagonized him with about quarterback A, quarterback B in their respective records. And it being a
just
head-to-head
facts,
comparison
right?
between Kirk
facts.
Cousins and Mark Sanchez. Earlier today, I thought this was really interesting. When I was driving in and listening to Dukes and listening to your flashes, when I heard this soundbite, I was like, whoa, oh, that's interesting. Jay Gruden at the podium, which we wanted to get you right here and right now in case you haven't heard this.
You know, it's week 13, you know, we're 6-6, and, you know, I just got to make sure that we're all on the right page here, on the same page, and doing what we're supposed to do to get ready for a football game. You know, this time of year, you can you know, imagine that when you have 63 guys out here practicing, there's going to be a few, there could be some griping and moaning going on around here. We had pads on today for the first part of practice. We had to check out our new linemen, and people weren't happy about that. And yesterday practice, they weren't happy. We just played on Monday night. But there's a lot of things that we have to get done from an offensive standpoint. We have to look at some guys in different positions, and I let them know we got a game to win. That's all.
Griping and moaning and guys not wanting to be.
Yeah, he was asked about a little huddle. He had to huddle up the team at the end of practice. And normally,
I guess Trent Williams and Adrian Peterson spoke.
Trent Williams and Adrian Peterson had to huddle them up for a little kick in the ass pep talk.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guess
basically,
what, Earl?
With a month to play, there's some lethargy setting in at Redskins Park.
Earl, yeah. How in the bleep do players that are making millions of dollars a year have no desire, no energy, mad at the coach and the coaching staff for going out in pads and going out, granted, a day and a half after a Monday night loss? I got it. You're 6-6, and you realize the severity of the situation just from a practical sense, like Jay chronicled. It's not, hey, you're 6-6, you suck, you've lost 3 in a row, we need to crack the whip, this isn't Club J anymore. No, it was, hey, guys, we're 6-6, we're fighting for our playoff lives and all of our jobs, but we have a quarterback that was here a week and a half and doesn't know the system and doesn't know you guys, an offensive lineman who just got here and one who's better known as a Caps fan than he is a Redskins
guard. Does not give you a lot of confidence that this team can kind of rally and circle the wagons against the Giants on Sunday, does it?
Absolutely not. Let's get out to...
That's a bad look. That's terrible, by the way.
So you blame that on the players, right? As I do. Or no?
Yes, they're professional.
Yes.
And you
but
know
what?
This is
what DJ Swearinger's been screaming about.
And the coach has a role, but he's right. And this is why I've said for a couple of weeks when he's been putting out these comments and statements, he's right. You've got to have pride in what you do. It doesn't matter. It's easy for me to say, but we're professionals. We show up and do our job.
Yeah. We don't whether we're sick, whether we want to, whether we don't
matter
want
how much
to,
you get paid, right?
Good,
you show up and you do your work because of the pride, because you're trying to do your job, and their job is to play football and to show up and I don't give a care mode is ridiculous.
There's a reason why the Patriots have won 5 Super Bowls with the motto "Do your job," right? Do your job.
And part of that may be because they have a coach that doesn't tolerate it. That is the coach's role in this, and maybe his hands are tied right now because he's got to have all hands on deck at this point, no matter good, bad, or indifferent.
And I don't know what Trent and Adrian Peterson said, but I sure as hell hope they fired up their troops and they fired up their guys to get them to stop bitching and moaning and crying and whining.
Whatever those two said, the other guy's response should have been, yes, sir.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Sir. Let's get to our pal Vic and Akakee on the fan. Vic, how are you?
Rooster.
What's
Earl,
up, Vic?
What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
First of all, as I said last week, DJ Swearinger was right. I knew he was right. He's been right before he got here. He was right before why he's here. He'll be right after he leaves here. This is why the Redskins suck, but I'll get to that later. Bruce Allen is an unintelligent football executive, and he's petty. He signed Reuben Foster because he wanted to have a one-up on Doug Williams for going out and getting Adrian Peterson, and he wanted to compare Adrian Peterson's off-the-field issues to Reuben Foster's issues, and they do not compare, particularly when you look at the per capita of what has happened and how often it's happened. And the track record of Adrian Peterson as an NFL professional over the long period of time as opposed to Reuben Foster's. Reuben Foster also had issues during his pre-draft time in the hospital, whatever it was, before he got signed to the 49ers. The other thing that bothers me is that we keep talking about Colin Kaepernick. Now, I'm going to be real plain about this. I'm a black man. Yes, I have a problem with people having a problem with black people kneeling when black men are getting shot in America and they're unarmed. I have a problem with it. But I'm still a football mind. Colin Kaepernick is not a multifaceted, skilled quarterback. He's fast. he can throw about four to five routes on a good day very well. He reads the one half of the field, and this is why Vernon Davis and Michael Crabtree and Frank Gore were getting so many touches, because he looks at those particular receivers. That's what Mike Shanahan was doing for Robert Griffin III when he was trying to teach him to be a better quarterback. Colin Kaepernick doesn't turn the ball over most of the time. He's not going to throw. He's not going to beat you with his eyes and his arm. He's not going to throw you open. He's going to really, really manage the game. And if you have a heck of a running game, he's going to be able to deceive you with the RPO and get guys open, because linebackers have to freeze and safeties end up coming up and having to freeze. He throws the ball behind them. He throws to his dump offs. He makes spectacular plays and makes it like college football. That's why Colin Kaepernick is not here, because Jay Gruden is saying, I have to teach him how to be a pro quarterback, and I don't have time to do that. So the best opportunity I had was to get Mark Sanchez. That might not be the best quarterback, but he knows the pro offense and the offense that I want to run with some RPO, with some read option, he can put in there better than Colin Kaepernick would. Has nothing to do – let me make this very, very plain. I do think he's being blackballed. Yes, I do. But in the other part of my mind, I'm still saying there are some other football minds out there that are not insensitive to black people that are saying he's just not what we need as a football player and as a quarterback. That's why we haven't signed him. My last thing is this. This is why I don't like Jay Gruden, because you should not have to say this in week 13. This is why I have a problem, and I'm going to say this, with every analyst that I've been calling to in the radio for the past 10 years when they say, Vic, you can't say that about people's jobs. These guys come out to do their best. They have families. That's unfair for you to challenge their jobs based on you being a fan. I don't want to hear that crap. I've been watching it after two since I was 6 years old. Do your job and do it well. Be a professional. You make millions of dollars to play a child's game. He should not have to. Adrian Peterson should not have to. Adrian Peterson, Trent Williams should not have to. Digging you all's faces to get you all to be professionals. This is right what you said, Rooster. This is why Bill Belichick wins, because he demands professionalism and excellence. This is what DJ Swanson was talking about. Do the right things the right way all the time. Even if you're not that talented, it gives you the opportunity to win games. So I do not think the Redskins are going to win or go to the playoffs, because if you got to get guys fired up in week 13, you don't want to be out there. Have a good night.
Wow. Vic. Not JT the Vic. Vic and Ankakee. That was as fired up and as passionate as I've ever heard him, and I agree with
him. I will say about the difference in offense, and the point was, yes, Kaepernick can help you, but it's too much to change. And I hate to use them as an example, because I despise our neighbors to the north up at the other beltway in Baltimore. Look what they've done with Joe Flacco to Lamar Jackson,
right,
who's ran the ball 27 times
right
in the NFL as
right
a quarterback. Completely different.
Yep.
And they're on a winning streak.
The
now,
only thing
they were
that
forced
I
to do it. But to tell me that, well, he doesn't fit the offense, well, then change the damn offense. Just run something different to a guy's strengths if he can help
but
you.
But here's the thing.
And I'm not sure Kaepernick is the answer, but I hate hearing that excuse.
But, Earl, I do think he fits the offense. They're running a lot of the same concepts that
Harbaugh used to run in San Fran.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They're running some, if not a lot, of the same concepts. That was a BS answer. The reality is he doesn't have familiarity with the terminology enough to learn. It's not only the play calls, it's the checks, it's the audibles, it's the...
But neither does the guy that came in two and a half weeks ago, Mark Sanchez.
But here's the thing. Mark Sanchez at least worked under Bill Callahan, Kevin O'Connell, or was teammates with Kevin O'Connell, who's now calling plays with him, and Matt Kavanaugh. Josh Johnson was with Jay Gruden in Cincinnati in 2013 and in Tampa in 2008. That's the difference.
We'll see how it works out over the next month.
I'm not saying
we'll see,
a better move. I'm just saying they're choosing familiarity, somewhat the known, as opposed to the complete unknown. 8:30 on The Fan. We have one last segment left to get to. More of your calls and reaction next on The Fan. Tom Wilson out tonight.
Yep.
For the Capitals, who are coming up at 8:45.
Phoenix and Phoenix.
Yeah, you can watch it on NBC Sports Washington. Listen to it, of course, here on 106.7 The Fan. Alex Ovechkin, Nick Backstrom, and Andre Burakovsky on the top line. For everybody that's been crushing Burakovsky and saying he's ineffective, I've seen a different Burakovsky the last 2 weeks. I've seen, not that I've watched every moment, and I just can't with all this Redskins nonsense. I've seen a better Andre Burakovsky in every way. In every way. I mean, he's, I'm not saying he's Jacob Vrana. I'm not saying he's close to breaking out. I've seen a much more responsible Andre Burakovsky.
Well, the one thing
is,
and
this is pretty much an indicator of
that. The Caps snapped to it once Tom Wilson got back in the lineup after the suspension. Yep. Now he's not in the lineup tonight. You know, maybe he can get by one or two games, but that's going to be interesting to see what kind of factor that is, because there's something to it, Russell, that, you know, when he's back in there, it's just a different energy, and he's helped kind of flip the switch for him right now. And even with two losses, they're still in front in the Metro Division, and without him tonight, that's going to be a task for them to see if they can get by without him. Who knows how long he's going to be out?
Well, it hurts a couple of things. It hurts the top-line chemistry, even though they had to mix it up with Backstrom in for Kuznetsov after Wilson came back because of Kuznetsov's injury. It hurts that. It hurts their power play now because he's been filling in for Oshie in the high slot, who's still out. It hurts their physical edge and their physical game and closing space for guys because of somewhat the intimidation or watch-out factor. And most importantly, it hurts the penalty kill, which was so good for after he came back. Like, they had killed, I think it was like 21 of 24 penalties. Now, the last two power play goal, or the last two goals against Anaheim on Sunday afternoon were power play goals because bad Dmitri Orlov penalties, which he's got to stop playing so bad and stay out of the box, please. Please, I'm begging you. And then the first goal on Tuesday night in Vegas. So it hurts the top line chemistry and the top line output. It hurts the physical and intimidation factor and the space factor. And more importantly, it hurts the penalty.
And they're coming off a game where they blew a 5-1 lead. And lost a game they should have won, and went on the road the other night, and the power play let them down.
Well, they should have
won. They had that extended time on the power play and couldn't cash in.
Well, they should have won Tuesday, too, just because of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they were tied, obviously, until about a minute and a half left. It was kind of a soft goal. I mean, it may have gotten deflected up off of Niskanen's stick, but still, Braden Holtby's got to do a better. And here's the other thing. Braden Holtby has to do a better job. He's not playing tonight. When he gets back in Columbus on Saturday, I assume, he's got to do a better job with rebound control.
And this game tonight, they're playing a team that's won four in a row, so they've kind of turned things around a little bit.
Hot young
goaltender. Little mini road trip, and like you said, big game against Columbus coming up next.
Absolutely. So that'll be Saturday night. Caps coverage coming up in just about 4 minutes or so right here on The Fan, so make sure you stay tuned for that. JT the Slick is running operations here. Ken Sabrin, John Walton, Ben Raby standing by. They will bring you home on this Thursday night, Thursday Night Football. Earl, if you want, down the actually on the other side on
1580 a.m.
1580. Yep. It is 7-0 Titans over the Jaguars. And guess what? This is the Redskins' two next opponents, specifically the Jaguars, next Sunday in Jacksonville, and then the Titans the following Saturday after that in Nashville. So a good little preview. And again, the Titans up 7-0 there. But the Redskins have their hands full with the Giants on Sunday. Earl, always a pleasure. Always good to
great
work with
being with you. DC drama never ceases to exist.
We were a little feisty tonight. I was a little feisty.
Good. It's good.
I hope you don't take any offense. Thanks.
I don't take offense to anything.
JT the Vic, thanks to you guys for listening, calling, and participating in the program. Back tomorrow night at 6:30. Junk's Drinking Party at 6 a.m. NBC Sports Washington, 106.7 The Fan. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.